Welcome to the message for Sunday, March 17th, 2024. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Our opening poem prayer today is adapted from I Have Been 1,000 Different Women by Emery Hall. Make peace with all the people you once were. Lay flowers at their feet. Offer them incense and honey and forgiveness. Honor them. Listen. Bless them and let them be. For they are the bones of the temple you sit in now. For they are the rivers of wisdom leading you toward the sea. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. For those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. And here is our message. So, a handful of friends are really into long-distance running. I am not a runner, but I do support them. And a couple weeks ago, a bunch of them went out to run in this half marathon, and they decided to wear a bunch of St. Paddy's stuff. So they had shamrock dealy boppers and leprechaun swag and green shirts. And I was there at the final bend in the cheering section, and as they were coming around, this random guy starts yelling to them, "You can do it! You've got the luck of the Irish! But you don't need it because you've been training." I don't even know who this guy was. When they got across the finish line, I'm like, "Do you know who this guy is?" They're like, "No idea." Just a random person that appreciated the green outfits, I suppose. But he's right. It's a lot of work to train for something, and your work may never pay off. There was this point in my late teens, it hit me. I would never be an Olympic gymnast. I would never compete on that level. My cousin competed at a world-class level, and I never would. By my late teens, I had aged out of excellence in that particular sport. Also, I had never taken a gymnastics class in my life, which put me at a disadvantage in international competition. I still can't turn a cartwheel. Not all ideas of who we would have, could have, should have been are realistic or reasonable. Some are easy to let go of. For me, it was not a difficult leap to realize I would never compete for gold. For my cousin, the elite athlete, letting go of Olympic dreams required some internal conversation. Letting go of who you thought you were becoming or imagined yourself to be is difficult terrain. During Lent, we make a practice of letting go of what is getting in the way of our connection with Christ and our identity as beloved children of God. Last week's reading was John 3, 14 through 21. It was a passage from a discussion Jesus had with Nicodemus. In that short passage, Jesus moves quickly through some big themes that billions of people have wrestled with for thousands of years. So that sermon contains some heavy theological lifting. Here are three takeaways I asked you to consider during this Lenten season in which we are allowing ourselves space to reconsider our choices, values, and behaviors. Is there hidden suffering or shame you are carrying? That was question number one. Nicodemus came at night. So it's useful to consider if you are also carrying something and hiding it. If the answer is yes, the question is, can you bring this into the light with someone you trust? Light is a disinfectant. The second question that arrived out of that scripture was, do you believe you are beloved by God unconditionally? And if no, can you name what you believe makes you unworthy? And if you can do it with someone else, again, with someone you trust, that would be great. But can you even put your finger on it? You may be holding yourself back because you feel actions in your past are unforgivable. But God came not to condemn, but to salvage the goodness in everyone. Eternal life is worked out in God's time. So if you can name your fear, lifting up what you believe makes you unworthy into the light, you can remove some of that shame and the charge. These first two questions mapped cleanly to the scripture in last week's sermon. The third cantilevered out a bit. And that question was, are you frustrated by the hypocrisy of some Christian believers? Last week's scripture seemed to indicate those who move toward the light of God's love are doing good things, and those who aren't moving toward the light of God's love are doing evil and hidden things. And that interpretation can lead Christians into mental spaces where they believe themselves to be on the right track while continuing to hurt others. Belief in the light of Christ's love is not a stamp of approval, it is a starting point. So I am assuming that you, like everyone, are not a fan of religious hypocrisy. I asked if you could think of belief as a step in a salvage project. Perhaps belief is a way to strip old paint off to reveal the beauty of the wood below. Belief is the first step in showing what's already there and revealing it in the light, rather than a new identity you put on like a new set of clothes. I offered this reframing because I find my own self holding compassion for people making an effort to reclaim their own goodness. Even if they're judgy and conceited and sometimes hurtful. I offer this reframing because I am able to hold more compassion for myself when I realize I am the one who has been judgy and conceited and hurtful. When I realize I have been the hypocrite. I am able to hold more compassion for myself when I think of myself as a work in progress. When I remember grace is the slow work of the soul, moving what I believe in my head down into my heart. I'm forgiven by grace and loved beyond measure. And so are the hypocrites trying to live in the light while also actively harming others. And you are also forgiven by grace and love beyond measure. During Lent, we are called to set aside what gets in the way of our connection with Christ. Things that get in the way include holding hidden suffering that will lose its power to take you down if you share it in the light. What gets in the way of our connection with Christ is believing ourselves beyond God's love. And also what gets in the way is refusing to extend compassion to people who should know better. This might even be us, right? Things done, things left undone. Everyone I have ever met wants to be the best version of themselves that they can manage. I have yet to meet someone who's like, nah, I'm good. Everybody wants to be the best they can be in whatever way they can be. And today's scriptural passage offers that remedy. We can live on into eternity, seeding the future. And all we have to do is die to ourselves. Easy, right? Today's scripture, John 12, 20 through 33, comes near the end of Jesus's life. He has eaten at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus last night, where Mary anointed his feet with oil. He has arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey. And Philip wants Jesus to talk to his Greek friends, or at least Greeks who came to him, because these Greeks were in Jerusalem at Passover. They were probably people called the God-fearers. God-fearers were Gentiles who followed Judaism, but they weren't considered really Jewish. They were not allowed to fully participate in the faith, which they deeply believed. And here comes Jesus, who suggests God is more interested in our hearts than a veneer of faithfulness. So of course the God-fearers would want to meet him. And of course they would later flock to the Apostle Paul, right? Paul's saying it's about how you do this thing, not where you come from. So these folks wanted to fully participate in their faith. And Philip's like, hey, Jesus, can you talk to these people? Imagine you're trying to get an introduction with someone. And the response is, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. For those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus's head is in a different space than a meet and greet. He knows what is coming. He will have to die to live. And this is a hint about our own Lenten journey. Wheat is a grass. A stalk of wheat is completely different from the seeds it is capable of bearing, right? Like, think of a stalk of grass versus the grass seed. Grass that doesn't go to seed just dies. When wheatgrass grows into maturity, it transforms. It retains its stalk, yes, but it becomes kernels, 100, 200 kernels, kernels that eventually outlive the stalk itself. A stalk of grass has to die to itself to live. A stalk of grass has to die to its grassiness to pass into seed. But that single stalk can bear hundreds of new stalks. We can't be generative if we refuse to let go of what we thought our lives were all about and move into the abundance of what our lives could be. The cruddy hard thing we all know is there is only so much we can carry. That's true for the burdens of our heart, and it's also true for our dreams. Some dreams are easy to let go of. For me, it was not a difficult leap to realize I would never compete for Olympic gold as a gymnast. Now, there is still time for me to achieve curling greatness. You know, curling, that sport where you slide the heavy stone and then you got the people with the brooms that smooth the path on the ice. That one I can do. I can just feel it. But it was not hard for me to let go of the idea of being an Olympic gymnast. For my cousin, the elite athlete, letting go of an Olympic dream requires more. But once she let go of her Olympic dreams, she became an amazing coach for dozens of young athletes who had their own dreams of elite performance. She let go of her idea of herself and ended up becoming even more impactful. And so it goes. At every stage of life, we find ourselves, once again, having to let go of some dream, some part of who we thought we were, only to find God has on offer a life bigger than we could have imagined. As long as we are holding on to an old dream or an old idea with both hands, we cannot pick up anything else. Even if what is in front of us is exponentially better than the dreams and the hopes we're carrying, we cannot become ever more fully beloved children of God if we are carrying the weight of hidden suffering or shame, are unable to see our worthiness, or are considering belief in Christ as the end game instead of the starting point of our Christian journey. It's Lent. Here is your permission to set down your burden. You can let go of that dream of who you had imagined yourself at this moment to be, and your hopes for how this was all going to go down. Once you die to yourself, Christ is waiting, ready to help you discover just how great you already are, how beloved, and how inextinguishable your flame. Amen. This is our prayer for Lent. Loving and compassionate Creator, root of all that is, was, and will be, I confess I have made mistakes. I have been wrong in thought, in word, and in deed, by what I have done and by what I have left undone. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbors as myself. I am truly sorry. Please have compassion and forgive me so that I may begin to forgive myself. I humbly commit to changing my thinking and my behavior so that I may delight in your will, walk in your ways, and my life will become a living witness to the power of your love. Amen. Leaving you today with words from Jeremiah. This is from Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34. Says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Amen. Have a great week.